your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Galatians. If you go right in the New Testament after 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you'll see Galatians right after that. So go ahead and turn to Galatians in chapter 2. So I know most of y'all back there on the back row, Savannah, y'all got a Bible. So go ahead and go to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 2. So we will pick up where we left off last week. Knowing that last week we read how the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, and Galatia not being a specific spot, right, but an area. So the north and southeastern side of Asia Minor, so those different places that he went in the last part of his first missionary journey. Once he returned from that missionary journey back to Antioch, then he wrote to them. If you remember the very first part of the letter, he greeted them. You know, he told them that, introduced who he was, gave a salutation, and then almost immediately he told them, I can't believe that I just left you all, and then you're letting somebody come in and preach a different gospel, which is not a gospel at all. Right? So people were coming in and saying, even though I preach to you that salvation is by grace, through faith, you're letting somebody come in and say, well, yes, salvation is by grace through faith plus something else, right? Those who would seek to spread the Jewish religion, not necessarily the faith in God, right? There's a big difference. Isn't there a big difference between religion and worship? Religion and faith. Religion and salvation. Big difference. You know, this morning we were talking in Sunday school, Gracie came in and said, are we still doing vocabulary? You know, because in our lessons we talked about what is holy, what is lost, and this morning the lesson was on salvation. So in our Sunday school class, it was a wonderful Sunday school class. We got through three verses of all of the 9 or 10 that were listed in the book. We only got through three. We covered a myriad of subjects. One of those, obviously, was about salvation. What does that word mean? Well, the Apostle Paul, yeah, you remember what it means, right? Thank you very much, Savannah. Don't tell me now. But we know that salvation, we have to be saved because we're lost when somebody rescues us. Well, the Apostle Paul was telling them salvation, right, being rescued is by faith. By grace, through faith. And then somebody else comes along and says, well, yes, it is by grace, through faith, but, you know, then they add something to that. And more than likely, them being Jewish, it added to that circumcision. You know, they had to be circumcised as a sign, you know, as kind of being a member of the club. And if you're not circumcised or you don't practice these particular ceremonies or these particular festivals or wash your hands a particular way, then I know you believe and I know there's grace, but if you don't do this, you're not really a Christian. You have to really be a Christian. You have to do this. And the Apostle Paul told them, I just left you, and now you're letting people come in and preach this. And he said, if anybody comes in and preaches something other than what me and Barnabas and Silas preach to you, then they're to be accursed. In other words, pick them up and throw them out the door. Right? Don't let them be part of it. You know, I think churches today, when somebody preaches something that is not according to the word, I think the men of the church fail by not physically removing people who preach something that is other than the truth of the gospel. I think that's what the Lord would have us do. You know, he would not have us allow falsehood to be preached in his pulpit. And so the Apostle Paul was writing to them, telling them that it's just grace and nothing else. So he continues that. He continues that whole, this whole thought, this whole part in chapter 2 of the book of Galatians. So we're going to pray, and then we'll dive right into chapter 2 and verse 1. Heavenly Father, I pray. Lord, I pray now that you would open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in this place. Lord, I pray that you would change us. Lord, if there's one that has never confessed you as their Savior, never said, Lord, I am a sinner and I need to be forgiven by your grace. I believe who you are. Lord Jesus, I pray that today that they would surrender to you, Lord, and that they would be saved, experience salvation from being lost because you were holy. Father God, these things we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, in Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, he finishes there in chapter 1 and verse 24 where he says, and they glorified God in me. And then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So he's saying 14 years after, right, he was commissioned. He was telling them that, look, I'm an apostle just like you all. I'm an apostle just like Peter, James, John, all the others. I'm an apostle. Born out of due time, yes, but an apostle nonetheless. And so he says, I came up to Jerusalem, and this is probably, if you remember in the book of Acts, and we were in Acts, I want to say it's like chapter 12, where Paul and Barnabas went back to Jerusalem because there was a famine, right? And they were going back to help the church at Jerusalem. They were going, taking them gifts and food and things like that. So he said, then 14 years later in verse 1, I went back to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So he's saying, I went up to those, to the apostles, to those leaders of the church, and I told them, this is the gospel that I'm preaching. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I'm preaching that we are saved by grace, right? What we don't deserve, through faith. We believe even though we don't see. By grace, through faith. He's saying, I'm preaching these things, and he's telling the other apostles and the leaders, this is what I'm preaching. He says, the middle part of verse 2, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain. So he's telling them, I'm telling them, some of them, I'm telling this in private. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So he says right there, he's diving right in, saying, now Titus, who was with me, Titus is not a Jew, right? Titus is Greek. He wasn't circumcised. He didn't have the mark of a Jew, but he was a believer in Jesus. So he was as much of a Christian as anybody. He was as much of a Christian as Peter was. Now, I'm not Jewish. Are any of y'all Jewish? No, we're not. I mean, I'm not. I have zero Jewish blood in me that I'm aware of. But we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he died on the cross to pay for what I did wrong, that he rose again from the grave that he might give us everlasting life. And because I believe it, I trust him, I accept that gift, I am as much of a child of God as Peter, James, John, or even Paul. Because we are saved by grace. And so Paul tells him, as he's writing them, he's like, Titus wasn't circumcised, verse 4. And that because of false brethren unaware were brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. He's like, here we are gathered together, and sometimes in small groups, Caitlin. Sometimes in small groups. So the people are brought in so that they're spying out their liberty. Let's see what he's got to say. Is he telling them that they have to be circumcised? Well, man, I was in this small group. We were having this small prayer meeting. There was Peter, James, John, Paul, a couple other guys, a couple of women that were there, and they were all praying, and they said you didn't have to be circumcised. Can you believe they said such a thing? The Apostle Paul said there were people that were brought in, right, that were he used the King James Version says spy. Right, in the Greek it means infiltrator. Somebody that snuck in, infiltrated. They infiltrated for one purpose. That was to cause trouble. Now one time I was at this church. They had called me to come and preach there in view of a call. So I preached for 4 Sundays straight. Well, on the third Sunday night that I was there, on the Sunday evening there was a time for question and answer. There's a bunch of people questioning me about all kinds of different things. Well, the next Sunday I was supposed to preach, and then they were supposed to vote. Right? So that during this time of question and answer, there were some people I hadn't seen there before. So the next Sunday, I preached with as much as the Holy Spirit gave me. And then Brenda and I left, and then they came to vote. Well, they voted, and they voted that they did not want me to be their pastor, which my feelings were not hurt. My feelings were not hurt, and my point of that is saying there was a bunch of people that were there for one reason. There was a bunch of people there to cause trouble. They didn't come in for the glory of God. They came in order to seek out something to say negative about all kinds of different things. Not just about me. They didn't know me from Adam, right? But they just wanted to cause trouble. So the Apostle Paul was saying, now some of us have experienced things like that. Some of us haven't. But none of it is new, right? The Apostle Paul was saying that people came in privately. They came in to seek out our liberty in Jesus, whether we follow the Jewish law because we want to worship God or follow the Jewish law because somehow it makes us a real believer instead of not a real believer. The Apostle Paul says they spied in order to bring us into bondage. They caused trouble to try to bring us into bondage. The Apostle Paul was saying we're not bound by the Old Testament law. We're not bound by the Levitical law. We're not bound by that. We don't have to be circumcised to be accepted by God. What we do on the outside is a reflection of what's on the inside, but what's on the outside is not a criteria for the acceptance of God. If what's on the outside is the criteria for acceptance of God, we've all been in trouble because we all have flaws. There's nothing any of us can do. This morning the subject came up in Sunday school, asking about the Ten Commandments, because the Bible in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 and following talks about how by the law is nobody justified, because none of us can follow it. Right? The Old Testament shows us that we need a Savior. And the Apostle Paul was saying people that were coming in preaching salvation by grace plus something else were trying to bring us into bondage. You know, often we're in bondage by all kinds of different ways. But the Apostle Paul tells them that people were doing that not for the glory of God, not for the worship of God, but that they might bring them into bondage. He says in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In other words, we didn't listen to them. We didn't give them the time of day. We didn't let them even get a small foothold, not even for an hour. Just like the Apostle Paul in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 1, when he says, if anybody preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. And I tell you again, if any man or even an angel preaches to you another gospel, they should be accursed. He tells them here in chapter 2, not even for an hour. Not even for a little bit. We don't withstand. We don't placate to untruth, not even for a moment. Right? We don't sit back and say, well, I wonder where this is going. No. It's the truth of God or it's not. And the Apostle Paul is telling them we didn't take it, not even for an hour. But that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Those in Galatia, the churches in Galatia. Verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, so this King James language seems a little bit confusing to some. He says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me, because God accepts no man's person. So he says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. He's like, I don't care how important they were. I don't care how educated they were. I don't care who they were. They didn't add anything to me. You know, sometimes we can look at somebody or we can talk to somebody and we can think, oh, they've got an important job. They really have an important job. You know, somebody can ask, well, what do you do for a living? Somebody says, well, you know, I am an environmental engineer. Wow, that's pretty good. So what do? Well, I drive a garbage truck. You know, what we make, what it sounds like is one thing. What it actually is, it's every bit as important. What would happen if nobody drove a garbage truck? Man, It's like our neighborhood would be Rumpke Mountain, right? So it's an important job. There's all kinds of important jobs. The Apostle Paul's saying it doesn't matter who they are. They're not adding anything to me. They're not adding any restrictions. They're not adding any requirements. They're not adding anything to me. Why not? Because the truth of God is simple. The Apostle Paul says, I don't care who they are. This is the truth. This is the gospel. The Apostle Paul says, it is simple. They're not adding anything to me. In verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. You might think, what in the world did that say? The Apostle Paul, in this little parenthetical statement, he's saying people are understanding that the Holy Spirit is as strong in me to preach to Gentiles as it is to Peter to preach to the Jews. That's all that said. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying the Holy Spirit is given equally. The Holy Spirit is preaching and reaching to save people that are Gentiles the same as people that are Jews. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is preaching to reach people that, as much as he is to white people, he is to black people, to Oriental people, to any other people. Right? The Lord is reaching out to all people. It doesn't matter who they are. You can't say, and I've told that story before, this dear friend of mine, her name was Yolanda Lewis, or her name is Yolanda Lewis. And that church that I came from when I was at North Fairfield, I mean, it was traditionally a very Southern Baptist church. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? So, you know, Yolanda and Vince, her husband, they were black, and they were the only black family in the whole church. And we kept asking them, well, Yolanda, why aren't y'all going to join? She's like, well, we belong to a church down in Avondale. They're my people. Like, Yolanda, we're your people. You're here every Sunday. Your kids are here every Sunday. We're your people. She's like, oh, I don't know. You know, and it took a while, but then, and not too long, but after that, Yolanda and Vince and their two daughters, they joined our church. And you know what? We were all the same people. The Lord is preaching to every one of us the same. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what the color is on the outside, whether we got hair or we're bald, whether we're short or tall, fat or thin, ugly or pretty. It doesn't matter. Right? The Lord wants to say is reaching out to each one of us, and it doesn't matter who we are or what we are. What it matters is, and it doesn't matter if we're Jewish, if we're Gentile, it doesn't matter if we have a Catholic background, a Muslim background, a Hindu background, a Hare Krishna background. The Lord saves each one of us the exact same way, by grace through faith plus nothing. And the Apostle Paul, he's telling them, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm not impressed by who you are. You know, I could come up to you and I could tell you, well, if y'all knew my academic record from when I was in high school, you would laugh. When I went to college, I think I've told this story. When I went to college, when I started at Temple, I had to bring my high school transcripts to prove that I actually graduated high school. And my GPA was 1.6. And that was grace, let me tell you. I barely graduated high school. Barely. You know, and I remember going up to the registrar, Stephanie. And I remember going, to the registrar and having to give these records. And I'm thinking, I promise I'm going to do better than this. I promise. And nobody was impressed. Right? Nobody was impressed. And when I graduated from college, I graduated with a 3.89 GPA. And I was all feeling real good about myself, you know. But the truth is, it doesn't matter if I got a 3.89 GPA or a 1.6 GPA. Nobody's impressed. Because we're all the same. Right? We're all born into sin. We all are lost, just like our Sunday school vocabulary. We're all lost, just like the prodigal son. We've all left our way. We all need to find our way home. And we all have a Heavenly Father that's waiting for us. And it doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, or how long we've been gone. What matters is we come to the Father, and He receives us by grace through faith, plus nothing else. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling this church at Galatia. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. If somebody tells you something different, they're doing it for their own motivation. They're doing it to put you in bondage. Now, none of us want to be in bondage, right? None of us want that. He said there were people that snuck in to observe, to spy out their liberty in Christ, that they might put them in bondage. And the Apostle Paul is saying, we are having none of that. So he tells us in verse 9, we continue on. In verse 9 it says, and when James and Cephas, that's Peter by the way, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, do you hear what it said there? Who seemed to be pillars. Who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. The Apostle Paul's telling this church in Galatia, look, we're preaching to you the same gospel that Peter, James, and John are, because when I went back to Jerusalem, earlier in the chapter, when I went back to Jerusalem and I met with them, they stuck out their right hand of fellowship. In other words, they agree with what we're doing. They approve of what's happening, though he's not doing it for the approval of men. They approve, and that there's unity among the apostles about what the gospel is, about what to preach. So the Apostle Paul, again, is telling them, look, what I'm telling you is accepted among all of the apostles. Verse, whether of the circumcision or of the heathen. Don't you love that he calls Gentiles heathen? Everybody laughs. I was a children's pastor for 20 years. And I always say, man, you know who I love most? I love the heathen devil children the most. I love them the most. You know, I love the ones that are loud and rowdy. I love the ones that challenge everything that you say. I love the ones that you got to snatch up kicking and screaming. I love them. You know why? Because they remind me of me. That's why. Because they remind me of who we really are. Right? We are disobedient. We are disobedient children. And God loves us anyway. And he died for us anyway. So the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to them, he's not that he has to justify himself to those churches in Galatia, but he's reminding them that the gospel is for everybody, and it's the same, whether they're Jews or whether they're Gentiles. And he says that not only did they extend the hand of fellowship, in other words, approving of what we're doing, verse 10, only they, that is Peter, James, and John, the other apostles, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to you. So he's like, all they ask is that we remember the poor people. Well, we know that the Apostle Paul remembered the poor people because the poor people were in Jerusalem. That's why he went back there to begin with. Right? So he's remembering those people. Again, he's writing to this church, trying to keep them focused on what the gospel truly is. But when Peter, verse 11, this is my favorite part of the whole book of Galatians. But when Peter was come to Antioch, now I don't know when Peter came to Antioch. Obviously, it was before this was written. But it says, when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So Peter did something wrong. Holy moly. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Paul said, I got in Peter's face. That's what Paul said. He's like, I got in his face. And that word right there that we just read, it said he withdrew. He was eating with the Gentiles. You remember back in the book of Acts in chapter 10 when Peter had that vision. Right? He had that vision of all of the hoofed animals and everything in the sheet. And you remember the Holy Spirit told him, said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, you're not going to call anything I've made common. In other words, go and eat with those Gentiles. Stay there in Caesarea. Stay with all of them, but be with them. So Peter is in Antioch, the Bible says here, eating with the Gentiles. And then when other people started to come, that word withdrew. In the Greek, that word withdrew means like slowly withdrew. So as more people came to join them in Antioch, Peter was enjoying meals with them, during, you know, all during the day, multiple times. And then he started pulling back. He's like, well, maybe I'll just eat breakfast. Not many people are there at breakfast. And then he quit going with them all along. And the Gentiles saw that there were more Jews coming, and Peter wasn't associating with them anymore. Peter was disassociating himself with the Gentiles. Like, well, I don't really want to be seen with you all too much. And the Apostle Paul said, I withstood him to the face. I gave him a rebuke to his face. His offense was public, so his correction was public. So he was, imagine that. Have you ever met, I'll tell you a story. One of the things that made me feel so good. You know, often in your church life and your professional life, things you're leery about them being intertwined. Right? And I did not ask permission to tell this story, but I'm gonna. I was at work about a little over a year ago. Yeah, maybe a year and a half ago. I was at work, and I saw a friend, the neighborhood engineer that attends this church. And I yelled out their name, and she said, Pastor Tony, and came and gave me a hug right there in the hallway at work. And it made me feel so good. I was like, all right, you know, I felt about 3 inches taller. I felt really good. And people around, they're like, why did she call you Pastor Tony? And I was like, well, because she goes to our church, and I'm the pastor. And it gave me all kinds of opportunity to speak to people. Now, had that person sat there and said, just waved and went on and acted like they didn't know me, man, I would have been, you know, I'd have got my feelings hurt. She didn't do that. She gave me a big old hug right there in front of everybody, called me Pastor Tony, made me feel like $1 million. So, not ashamed of who she was, not ashamed of where she went to church or any of that. I mean, it was a great thing. And the Apostle Paul was telling Peter, you can't, when nobody's around, treat them like they're equal, and then when everybody else comes around, act like you don't want no part of them, like you're somehow better than them. Well, you're not better than them. You know, I'm no better than you. Right? I am a sinner saved by grace just like you. Some of y'all are more educated than I am. I might be more educated than some of y'all, but you know what? It doesn't matter to the Lord. What matters to the Lord is whether or not you've accepted Him as your Savior, whether you've not confessed your sin. That's what the Lord cares about. Are you accepting my Son Jesus? Did you receive the gift I gave you 2,000 years ago? Or have you left it on the doorstep? That's what the Lord cares about. And the Apostle Paul's telling Peter, look, I'm not going to have it. He wasn't going to have it in Antioch. He was preaching salvation by grace. He was preaching equality. He was preaching Jew and Gentile was all the same in the kingdom. And here Peter comes, supposedly the leader of the Jerusalem church, and he's acting like he's better than everybody else. Peter's like, I ain't having it. You know, Peter didn't say, well, or the Apostle Paul didn't say, hey, Peter, come here. Hey, man, what's up with that? No. Man, he's like, this is important stuff. This is life and death. This is the truth of the gospel or not. That's what it is. So he withstood him to the face. So he goes on, verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. The Apostle Paul said, I withstood him to the face, because it wasn't just Peter that disassociated himself with the Gentiles. It was Peter, it was James and John, and even Barnabas. Even Barnabas got caught up in it. You know, he's like, when we do this, especially as a leader, when we do this, other people come with us. You know, there's some people here, I tell them, you are a leader. People follow you. They pay attention to you. If you go astray, they're going to follow you. But if you stay on the straight and narrow, other people, your peers, are going to follow you. I mean, that's an important thing. And Paul was telling Peter, look, you're drawing the other apostles away. Knock it off. right? That's what Paul was telling them. And we see here in verse 14, he says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" I love what Paul's asking. He's like, if you're a Jew and you live like the Gentiles, why are you telling the Gentiles you got to live like Jews? That's what he's telling them. Because that's what Peter was saying. Right? Peter was saying, well, I think I'm going to sit here and I'm going to eat with the Gentiles. You know, I'm going to have some bacon. I'm going to have some hot dogs, some pork and beans, all that good stuff. But then when other Jews come, I'm not going to have none of that. I'm just going to have some lamb, and that's about it. You know, I'm not gonna partake in the Gentile meat. Paul asked him, and that's us. Isn't that us? You know, we live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Galatia, and he's telling about this encounter with Peter and the other apostles, what we can take from this is say, we live in the grace of God, but then we compel other people to live different than what we live in our freedom in Jesus. Well, you know, y'all you can't be doing that, right? You know you can't be dancing, because Baptists aren't supposed to dance, right? That's right. That's what Alan says. That's right. By the way, I love to dance. I'm no good at it, but I love doing it. We can't sit there and say, hey, you can't do that, and then us enjoy our freedom in Christ. We can't put someone else in bondage when we've been freed from that bondage. Right? We can't enjoy the free grace of God and then try to put someone else in grace plus some law. Or in grace plus some chains. So he says right there, verse 15, he says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law," that is exactly what we read this morning in Sunday school, right? Only from Romans chapter 3. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Why by the works of the law can no flesh be justified? Because we can't do it. Because you can't do it, I can't do it. There was only one man that could do it, and that man was God in the flesh, and that's Jesus. And that's the only reason that you and I could be justified by faith, because Jesus lived the law perfectly. So no man can be justified by the law in the flesh. So if we can't obey all of them, why in the world do we want to put restrictions on one little thing? Why do we want to pick this? Why do we want to say, you know, you go back years in the 70s especially. You know, you always say, well, you women, you can't cut your hair. The Bible says you can't cut your hair. Well, why do you want to pick that? And then not something else. You know, it's just picking something out that you might put someone else in bondage, as the Apostle Paul said. Right? When they pick one thing out to say, well, it's salvation by grace plus this. Whatever it is, it's putting someone else in bondage, holding someone to a standard that we don't hold. Don't you hate people like that, that ask you to do something that they would never do, not in a million years? I always hate that. You know, when I'm coaching my girls on my basketball team, when we do planks, and man, we do planks until they cry, and I love it. You know, they are crying the blues. They're like, "Coach Tony, I'm tired." I'm like, "Suck it up, Buttercup, it's all right." And I'm doing it with them. I'm doing them with them. You know, when they're crying at the end, we're running suicides. I'm running suicides right along with them. I don't make them do anything I won't do. Now, they're faster than me, right? But I'm still doing it with them, no matter what. And God, the Apostle Paul is telling people, look, You're enjoying grace. You're enjoying grace. Don't put grace plus something on somebody else just because you think that it's important to someone else. Right? That is not the gospel. He says, verse 17, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So the question, the obvious question is, so if there's no law, and we're not saved by the obedience of the law, and we're saved by grace, can we just get saved and know we're going to heaven and then sin and do whatever we want? And then God being the author of sin, because God says, hey, you're covered no matter what. No. That's why the Apostle Paul said, God forbid, that is not it. Right? We are obedient to God because we are saved by grace. We're not saved because we're obedient. We're obedient because God saved us. Because we don't deserve to be saved. Right? We have broken, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school. The Bible says that if we've broken one commandment, we've broken what? All of them. And if we've broken all of them, every one of us is bound straight for hell, and we ain't got a prayer. Because by the law, no flesh is justified. And in the same way, God is not going to say, hey, go ahead and sin freely. No, we obey God not because it's required of salvation, but because of salvation. God, you died for me. Man, you saved me when I didn't deserve it. You died when you certainly didn't deserve it. You rose again by the power of God, and you've offered me that. And because of that, I'm going to obey you. Because of that, you know, my job, the company that I work for, I get a paycheck every week. Every week I get a paycheck. Now, because of that paycheck, right, I'll do what they tell me. You know, sometimes they tell me really stupid things to do. At least it seems stupid to me, right? Because I don't have the whole picture. But they'll tell me something really crazy to do. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the dumbest thing ever. But you know what? They pay my bill. And because they pay my bill, I say, that's what you say. That's what I do. Right? I'm okay with that. God, through His Son Jesus, paid your bill that you cannot pay. And because of that, we say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know why, but because you said it, I will do it. That's why. That doesn't mean we're saved because we're obedient. That means we're obedient because He saved us. He saved us. And we had a great conversation in Sunday school this morning. Kids were asking questions about stuff that all kids think about. And often they'll ask questions and they don't get an answer. And they ask questions about things that they don't understand. And sometimes we can't explain it, but we can say this is what the Bible says. And because we trust that God loves us and we trust that God forgave us of our sin, we're going to be obedient to that and trust Him, even though we don't understand it. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Galatia, encouraging them, reminding them that because God did not save us so that we could sin, we obey God because He saved us from our sin. Verse 18. He says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Why would I go back and rebuild the thing that destroyed me to begin with? Why would I return to that which killed me? That's what the Apostle Paul is asking the question. Why would I return to the very thing that hurt me? Can you imagine? I mean, it happens all the time, right? People do things that hurt them and that harm their body. And then they're in trouble, they're sick or they're hurt, and then after they recover from that sickness or that injury, they go right back to doing what they did before. You know, and you think to yourself, what is the matter with you? I know after my first back surgery, wife's like, Tony, you can't wrestle and play around with them kids. I'm like, I sure will. And after my second back surgery, she's like, Tony, you can't wrestle and play around with them kids. I'm like, yeah, I'm still gonna. I go and I return to that very thing that hurt me to begin with. Because I make that choice. You make the choice. You can make the choice to return to the very thing that caused your destruction. Or you can surrender that to the Lord. You can surrender it and give it away. Right there, he says, if I build again, verse 18, the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Because I'm dead, because I broke the law, so I, through the law, am dead. Right? I'm dead. I'm a dead man. Because I'm guilty. But since the law showed me that I'm dead, I am alive in God. Because God is the one that fulfilled the law and offered me forgiveness. And we can look at verse 20. Y'all, I'm sure y'all know this verse. He says, for I am crucified with Christ. Because Christ died for my sin. So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live. My sins died on the cross with the Son of God. The one who committed no sin. My sin died on that cross. Nevertheless, I live. Every one of us in here this morning are breathing. We woke up this morning. We got dressed. We decided we were going to come to the house of God and worship the Son of God. Nevertheless, we live. Man, if we know Jesus as our Savior, we are alive in Christ. Our sins were crucified on that cross, and we are risen with the same Lord that rose on the third day. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. It's not me that lives. It's Jesus that rose on the third day, and it's Jesus that lives in me because my flesh is dead. Right? My sin nature is dead. My flesh is dead. My flesh, the day that I was born, began to die. But man, my soul, praise God, my soul is forgiven and my soul is heaven bound and my soul is alive forever and ever. And so is yours if you know Him as your Savior. If you just say, you know what, I'm going to let go. I'm not going to hold on to it. Lord, I am dead. I know that I'm dead. I'm dead inside. I had a student tell me a couple of weeks ago, I'm dead inside. I wanted to tell him, I know you're dead inside. You're lost. And even as that student said they were dead inside, I said, well, here's where life is. And we could tell the truth of life. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me that's living, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Man, that's powerful. Man, I could preach for like 2 hours on verse 20. That is a powerful verse. Kids, I'm not going to go 2 more hours, I promise. I knew what y'all were thinking. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This flesh, this life that I live by faith. Right? I live by faith. I don't live by the law. I don't live by the Old Testament law, by the Levitical law. I live by faith. Right? This flesh that I know is dying, just like your flesh is dying. And I'm not busting on anybody that stayed home. I totally understand it. But I was telling people at work, you know what? Something's going to kill me. Something's going to kill me. I don't know what it is. It could be my motorcycle. It could be my car. It could be my wife. It could be the coronavirus. Something is going to kill me. But the flesh that lives does not live under its own power. The flesh that lives, lives in faith in Jesus. And nothing's going to happen to me until He says it's time. So I'm not worried about it. I don't care. Right? It is God Himself who determines. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Verse 21. Finally, we'll be finished. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Did you hear that? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you following the Ten Commandments can save you, then Jesus died for nothing. Jesus died for nothing. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You can't. You know, I did not earn my way. I cannot earn my way to heaven. I can't earn my way into anything. It is all given by the grace of God. You know, and in our mind and in our heart, guys, pay attention. This is important. In our mind and in our heart, we doubt. Right? We doubt and we think, what can I do? Or wait, maybe what's it going to take? What it's going to take is simply surrendering and confessing and saying, Lord, I've got nothing. I am dead. I'm dead inside. I'm dead outside. I'm dead by my trespasses and sins. And I want to live by faith in you. I want to surrender to you now. If God is speaking to you this morning, and you don't know that you know Him as your Savior, you never confessed Him and said, Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that you died, that you rose again on the third day. And I believe that if I confess my sin, you'll save me. If you've never done that, today is the day. So, Dorothy, why don't you come on up to the piano? If the Lord is speaking to you this morning, if He spoke and He's calling you to come to Him and surrender to Him. You come this morning. Last week we had a few people coming up and saying, Tony, I just need to be prayed for. Maybe God is calling you just to come and to pray for you. Maybe He's calling you because you need to be transformed from death to life. Whatever the Lord is calling you to do, you do right this moment. Do not wait. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, that Your Holy Spirit is in this place. And Lord Jesus, I know that You have called us here for this moment. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us when we add something to the marvelous grace of Jesus. Father, I pray that since there's a soul in here that does not know You, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would call them, Lord, that they would surrender to Your call and come and pray and say, Jesus, I need You to save me now. Lord, may You have Your way, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing. Number 308.